This is ESPN Radio.
You have me hot up here at the 6 a.m. hour. Got me yelling, got me sweating. The armpits, I got the sweat stain already. I mean, that's the kind of emotional roller coaster I'm on.
Jay Williams trying to calm down, although that's not happening. I'm Freddie Coleman together, presented by Progressive Insurance. Negative Ghost Rider, Landon Patterson, here this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPNU, and ESPN2. We're going to get to the Cardinals definitely tanking to get Caleb Williams in the number one pick in the draft next year in 2024 when he leaves USC. We'll do that in about 5 minutes. But the reason that real Jay Williams is so hot at Freddie Coleman is because Freddie Coleman, I knew exactly what I was doing here.
You're the worst.
I'm completely the worst. I keep telling you guys, I'm going to hell on scholarship. Full ride, tuition, everything paid for.
You can't even say it with a straight face.
No, I can't.
That's the problem.
Matthew Stafford, his wife has a podcast called The Morning After Podcast. Kelly Stafford is her name. And on it, she mentioned in terms of that husband.
Is that the name of the podcast?
The Morning After Podcast.
Oh, I thought you said, it was an addition. Kelly Stafford is her name. Go ahead.
No. Now you're trying to flip it.
I said, title of podcast.
Her podcast is called The Morning After Podcast.
Yes. Okay, got it.
Let's not have
it.
Anything misconstrued.
It just kind of was like a run-on sentence. It just came out. Go ahead.
Please. So on the podcast, she mentioned that her husband, Matthew, is having problems communicating with the players on his team, trying to get them together. But anytime at the practice, they head right to their phones. So he's frustrated. And she put it out there for the world to hear on her The Morning After podcast. Jay will basically say, hey, you know, Matthew Stafford, you know, this really stinks in terms of getting together. You got to go old school with these guys, get their attention.
You can go new school to get their attention. You just got to go new school, not from your wife.
Right, exactly. All those are true. I play devil's advocate and say, if he couldn't get through them that way, maybe there's a way to get through them another way. And Jay lost his religion at me.
People, this man, Freddie Hot Sauce Coleman, looked at me in the damn eyes.
Now, I did. I gave you the disclaimer and said, playing devil's advocate.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Well, I would never say it like
that.
No,
definitely, your voice is definitely not that high tone.
I would never, ever
say
it like
that.
Let
me play devil's advocate. Freddie.
I couldn't resist. You put it up on a tee for me. I knew it was going to lead there, but I didn't think it was going to lead that way with you.
I've been in a lot of locker rooms. You know how we look upon pillow talk?
Oh, I know how pillow talk.
We know that everybody has pillow talk, right?
Of course.
It's inevitable. You're with your partner. You know what I mean? Every day you come home, you voice your frustrations.
Right.
Yo, Freddie Hot Sauce, man, he did this to me. Nunito, he cursed me out after this, you know, this caller, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. Pat Costello, Officer Costello, Toyota Costello, Uber Costello, these different things, right?
Hey, he's giving you
Ferrari
so many nicknames.
Costello. We have all these things that we say. But if your wife decides to go on the podcast and air out your dirty laundry.
Right.
Oh, boy, that's going to be problems. Because even if it's not something that is malicious, the fact that she would have the audacity to go out there, now all of a sudden as your teammate, Freddie, I'm looking at you by saying, okay, oh, you don't step like that. You don't got that kind of swag that you can come to us directly and literally find a way to communicate with us in the amount of hours we spend together in training camp, in OTAs, and all this time that we spend together. You can't find a way to articulate to us what time it is. Well, I have to hear about this from your wife's podcast. And now I got media members asking me questions about you through your wife. I'm not saying it's a deal breaker, Freddie.
Right.
But I'm saying it just leaves a weird taste in my mouth because now you as a 35-year-old grown-ass man. You're a grown man. You're 35. Right? Like, if I'm 21, I'm like, yo, hold on a second. Like, you couldn't send me a DM?
Here's the deal with that, and I'm not saying you're wrong. But if you're going to meet Matthew Stafford halfway, he can't just meet it your way by DMing me or texting me, anything like that. If he's approached you in the locker room, and you've gone right through your phones, and you keep doing that, then why does he need to keep doing that? Why does he need to play on your terms when you're supposed to be a team together? Why can't you meet him halfway? So, you know what? Let me put my phone down and find out what Matthew Stafford has to say.
Because
I don't know if they're doing that. I'm just saying, if they're not doing that, whatever Kelly Stafford had to say on her podcast, if Matthew Stafford gave her the thumbs up, say, honey, go ahead and do that, or he didn't know she did it, either way, it's out there now.
Got it.
As far as that goes. Mm-hmm. So now we need more context. Yeah, I got on you in terms of being devil's advocate. I knew I was going to have you do that. I didn't expect that. That was comedy for me. But the crux of the matter is there's a communication breakdown, and how do you fix it? It can't just be about Matthew Stafford fixing it. It's got to be a combination as a team. We're not talking about tennis players here where you're playing an individual sport or you're playing a double sport. If there's a problem communicating and either he's tried to communicate with you and you go to your phones or you don't want to listen to what he has to say, there's a problem there. And it got exacerbated by Kelly Stafford putting that pillow talk out there that she and Matthew Stafford had about the problems he's having with guys not responding or even being reciprocal to him trying to get them together to communicate.
It's the problem with going through a rebuild.
There's no doubt about that.
Those are one of the growing pains of going through having a lot of younger players around guys who've been in the league for a long time.
And, that's true.
This is what Sean McVay talked about. Like this is the after effects of when you go blank them picks like Les Snead did. It got you a championship. But now for your older players, right, that want to have some kind of level of success, mm-hmm. right? The way you end your career, you want to go out. I don't care what anybody says.
Right.
You want to go out to your best possible play, right? Let's try to find a way to make it to the playoffs. Let's try to find a way not to be at the bottom of the conference.
Right.
Like, let's fight for it, where you have a lot of young players, new money, these old guys, okay, they're out here, they're saying this way, yeah, we got it, they won a championship, mm-hmm. but still, like, they're on their way out. So that's going to be up to Sean McVay. That's going to be up to the older players collectively to work together mm-hmm. to capture the attention of the younger players, to get them on pace right. with what it takes to win a championship.
Yeah. A buddy of mine, Kevin Burrell, he played in the major leagues, a baseball player. He's a major league baseball scout. We were having this conversation not too long ago, and he said, Freddie, more than ever before, you got to make a decision when it comes to relationships. Are they transactional or transformational? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if you're going to build trust with somebody, it requires doing the right thing for the right reason for a very long time, but it comes down to earning that trust when it comes to communication. Do you want that relationship to be transactional or transformational? In Matthew Stafford's case, he wants transformation. Maybe the younger guys look at this as transactional, saying, to your point, you're not going to be here much longer. This is going to be our football team. So whatever you have to say, why are we going to pay attention to it? Why do we need to lean into you? And Matthew Stafford's like, well, I got one of these on my finger that you guys don't have. If anything, it'd be in your best interest to hear what I have to say so we can come together as a football team, whatever kind of rebuild is going on. He wants that relationship as a football player, as a guy who is a leader on that team, to be transformational. They're looking at him as a transaction, saying at a certain point, your transaction will be out of here. We're going to have somebody that we like, that we have more in common with. And so when Kelly Stafford put it out there on social media, in her The Morning After podcast, now everybody has to answer these questions, and now you still got to find a way because you got to go out there as a football team, Jay, and communicate mm-hmm. via football team.
I agree.
No matter what that is, no matter if you're doing the old school, new school, middle school, whatever that is. Her putting that out there, to your point, now they got to answer questions about this from media members. The bottom line is, what are you guys going to do about it to make sure this does not continue to be a problem in a rebuild with the Rams?
Okay, so, I mean, I look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers who goes over to the Jets.
Okay.
Has he had communication issues with his younger players?
Not at all.
Why not?
Because they've been receptive to Aaron Rodgers.
Hmm. Why do you think that is? So Matthew Stafford has won a Super Bowl, I mean, way like closer than Aaron Rodgers has won one, right?
Completely
so
fair.
It's like, so there's certain, you know, when somebody hits me with, well, we have to meet in the middle, that's not what a leader does. A leader reaches down to where you are and forces you to raise yourself to the middle. Like that, as an older player, I've been around a lot of pretty incredible vets. I'll give you one.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson, his father, Rick Brunson, right? Rick Brunson would do things every single day. Be like, all right, Jay, we're going to run suicides if you're not early for practice. I'm like, okay, Rick, whatever. Rick would then talk to the coaches and be like, no, you're going to mandate that Jay run suicides if he doesn't meet me early for shoot around.
Okay.
Right? So, like, there are little things that you can do to get to communicate or to connect. Like, sending somebody a DM. Right? Like, DM is a new text. Like, we joke often, a lot of times, we have multiple people host this show throughout the summer. Alan Yates is one of the guys who's always here as a staple. We talk a lot about, like, I don't pick up calls that much anymore. I pick up FaceTimes. Like, me and all my boys, we FaceTime. We don't call. Now, I'll call. I get how to play all variety of games.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll also answer to DMs as if that's a text.
Right.
Right. So instead of sending somebody a text, yo, let me try new things.
Okay.
Try to learn new things to build gaps, to meet them to where they are, to raise that level. Because, by the way, they're not competing for a Super Bowl right now.
All right. But what if he's done that and they have not responded to it? They have not been receptive to it? Because you were receptive to it from Rick Brunson when he went a different way. A great leader also has people that are going to be great followers. If they're not willing to follow Matthew Stafford, then that may never happen with younger players.
Doesn't matter. It comes upon you as a leader.
Well, if he's continued to do that.
Let me ask you a question. If you're the CEO of a company
and
you can't get the people to follow you, what happens to you?
You're going to lose your job.
There you go.
But, but I'm not going to place my job in their hands if they're not being receptive. You know what happens?
Understand.
If I'm a leader and you continually disrespecting me and not following my orders, I find new people.
Exactly.
I get rid of them.
So, all right. So at a certain point, Matthew Stafford, if he's trying a lot of new ways and it's not working depending upon the talent, because sometimes talent supersedes everything, right, to a degree.
There's no doubt.
But if Matthew Stafford, at this time of his career, if he can't find ways to connect with the next generation, then, by the way, like, why are you here?
Well, he's the quarterback of the team. He's a starting quarterback.
But I have to ask that question, though. Like, if we're building, if you're having health issues, right, and I'm looking at the next iteration of our team, right? If I'm committing to you, like, maybe that's a sign. Maybe they're not committed to Matthew Stafford long term. They're not.
Well,
he's 35 years old, 14 years in the league,
thing.
Right?
Yeah,
so it's like, if you're going to be here to usher the next generation, I think you have to learn how to communicate and connect with the next generation.
I get it. But what if he's done that and they're not receptive? What if he's tried to meet them more than halfway and they're still not doing it? They're not meeting him halfway. Then to me, that's more on them than Matthew Stafford. And if he hasn't done it, if he hasn't tried those kind of things, then that's a different situation. I'm completely with you on that. But if he's done that, if he's DM, texted, FaceTime, and they keep ignoring him, then to me, that's more on the players than Matthew Stafford.
Or maybe that's Matthew Stafford's not it.
Or maybe Matthew Stafford's not it.
All I'm trying to say
is after
a while, regardless if your ways aren't connecting and there is a pool of talent that is the next iteration of what the Rams are going to look like in the future, and they can't connect with your starting quarterback, sorry. That's a reflection on your quarterback.
I don't know. I disagree. I think that's a reflection of people there who aren't being receptive to somebody who has something that they don't have, and that's a Super Bowl championship, and he went through hell and high water to do that, Los Angeles Rams.
Sorry.
Either way, that morning after podcast, Kelly Stafford is the host, the wife of Matthew Stafford, the quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams. Speaking of quarterbacks,
and I like Matt, Freddie.
So do I.
I like Matt a lot.
I like Matt a lot. I guess we need more context that we may never get when it comes to that locker room dynamic and that communication, non-communication dynamic going on with the Rams. Maybe we'll get that in the next morning after podcast with Kelly Stafford, the wife of Matthew Stafford.
After.
Oh, there's going to be a next morning.
Goodness.
There's always a morning after. He's Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us this morning on the morning after, known as ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN2. We're going to ask one of our insiders if the wife of Matthew Stafford speaking out about the lack of communication between her husband and the team is hot news or not news. This is ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is ESPN Radio. In a 24-hour news cycle, everything feels like news. Let's find out what's hot news or not news.
And hot news or not news, part of ESPN Radio with Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. There you go. Perfection starts with Patron. It's always good to have Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider. Great follow on social media on the X at Dan Graziano, ESPN. Dan, we're going to start with the wife of an NFL player. Grazi, Matt Stafford's wife, Kelly, said her husband on her The Morning After podcast said, said that Matthew Stafford is having issues getting on the same page as his younger teammates. Is this hot news or not news?
It is not news.
I love the way you said that. You saw the Coco Gauff last night.
Oh, I love
Slow.
That's it? You know what I mean? Better than that? Stafford's wife? That's it? That's the big... I mean, come on, man. The season's like a week and a half. We got better stuff than that.
That's the problem. We're talking about the Rams. I mean, it's...
Yeah, look... I was out at their camp.
Yeah.
Like, they got Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald and Matt Stafford and...
Exactly.
Nobody.
Name a fourth Ram. Like, it's tough. So, they're going to be maybe the youngest team in the league, even with those three guys that are obviously older. They're not going to use the word rebuild, the Rams, but that's what they're doing. And I don't know, man. Like I wouldn't be surprised if somebody from that threesome was on the trade block in October. Can you imagine Aaron Donald as like a trade deadline pickup for a contending team?
Boy. Okay.
That would be wild.
I was going to ask you, Graz, like, who do you think would be the first to be on the trade block? Obviously, because with three veterans like that, as much as you have pride and loyalty to the organization that went all in to win the Super Bowl, I don't care what anybody says, Dan. I don't want to end my career getting blasted every single game.
Right. So, like, what is it? So what do you want, right? Like, everyone's different. Stafford, there were teams interested. Like, the Rams were trading guys in the offseason. They're trying to take all their dead money this year. Mm-hmm. There were teams that called about Stafford. The Jets called the Rams about Stafford before they had the Aaron Rodgers plan, and it was a no-go, either because the Rams didn't want to or because Stafford didn't want to, and that's key, right? If he likes living in L.A., he already won his Super Bowl. Maybe he wants to wrap up there. Maybe he doesn't want to move back across the country. So different things motivate different people. Aaron Donald might be content playing his whole career with the Rams, and he's what else does he need to accomplish? Like, his resume is set. It's as good as anyone's ever. So he may not want it, but he also may decide, if it's going badly, he may say, you know, guys, I'm going to be done after this year. Hypothetically, I'm not reporting that, but let's say he did. You know, if he felt that way, send me somewhere I can win another one. And then you'll know why teams clear cap space in August.
No doubt about that. But staying in that division, the Arizona Cardinals, they've kept Kyler Murray in the PUP, the pup list.
Yeah.
But they cut Colt McCoy, who has started more than a couple of games for them.
Crazy.
This has tanking been all over it. Is it hot news or not news?
What are you getting at there, Freddie?
I'm not getting at anything. This is tanking.
Yeah. look, I would say not news, because I think people know inside the game have known what's been going on here. Kyler, by the way, Kyler's not healthy. So, like, he may not have been ready, like, even regardless of whether they're focused on the present or the future, which, by the way, it's the future. I don't know that Kyler would have been playing in the first 4 weeks anyway, and I'm not sure he's going to be ready for the fifth week. So he injured his knee. It was torn ACL in December. So that's a pretty quick turnaround, and his legs are a big part of his game. They'll take it easy with him. In terms of Colt McCoy, who had $2.25 million guaranteed, which they have to pay anyway, they traded for Josh Dobbs last week, which was a strong indication that they weren't thrilled with what they had in the quarterback room. So I guess the writing was kind of on the wall. Maybe Colt McCoy, in their eyes, just doesn't have it anymore, and they'd rather go with Dobbs and or Clayton Toon, the rookie they drafted out of Houston. But regardless, gentlemen, they would not admit this, but the Arizona Cardinals are thinking about 2024 and beyond. They have two first-round picks. They have six picks in the first three rounds.
Of course.
I think if you put truth serum in them and ask them, who do you think your quarterback's going to be in 2024, they would say Williams. Caleb Williams.
Exactly, Dan. It's Caleb Williams. Look, I got a great realtor right there.
Oh, you do?
Nice. Phoenix. Really? Man, Phoenix is one of those places now.
Well, Michael Wilbon moved out there.
Ask Charles Barkley.
Uh-huh.
All I'm saying, Dan, is like, you know, I can't be mad at the plan. Dan, like, if you're unsure, like, and I think it's like, you know, I saw a lot of people blasting the Cardinals the other day, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, if you're unsure about Kyler Murray, which you are, obviously, got rid of Cliff Kingsbury, you have a new head coach. You have a new team that's in place. Like, why not go for the quarterback that you want that fits the system that you want to play in the future?
New head coach, new GM with a clear mandate to build it from the ground up. The big question that lingers, though, is what's that mean for Kyler Murray, who just signed a contract extension last offseason? And, you know, his contract is not going to be cheap to get out from under if they want to do it next offseason. But if they're going with the draft pick route, if they're building with young guys, that's the time you can afford to take a big hit on a contract if you're offloading it. So don't be surprised if Kyler's elsewhere in 2024.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider. Hit him on the exit. Dan Graziano, ESPN, giving you a little hot news or not news. Brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more here on ESPN Radio with the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80 and ESPN 2. Jonathan Taylor, the Indianapolis Colts, at least for now, still has not been traded. The deadline for that trade is T-O-D-A-Y today. Is this hot news or not news, Dan?
Scorching hot news, Freddie Coleman. This is the big news everyone is watching today. Rosters have to be cut from 90 to 53 by 4 p.m. Eastern today.
Wow.
So there's going to be a lot of dudes losing their jobs. But what everyone has their eye on is, will Jonathan Taylor be on the move? Will the Miami Dolphins or some other team be able to swing a deal, give the Colts what they're looking for, and also be willing to give Jonathan Taylor what he's looking for contractually? These are two big hurdles, and whoever acquires him is going to have to clear them both. I always figured this would go down to the wire. I don't get the sense, as of last night, I didn't get the sense anything was on the verge of happening, but deadlines can make things happen, and certainly, if common sense prevails, the Colts ultimately sort of take what they can get and move on, because it seems like the relationship with Taylor is broken. But we'll see. Common sense does not always prevail in these situations.
Dan, when you said it would take, obviously both things need to happen on what Jonathan Taylor wants financially, and then also what the Colts would like to receive in compensation in a fair trade. What do you think that really is? Because it feels like the Colts have a lot of leverage here in the way they're looking at the value of Jonathan Taylor.
They do, but you know, Mike Tannenbaum in our morning meeting for Get Up just pointed this out. If they don't trade him by four, they'll put him on the PUP list, which means he'll miss the first four games at a minimum, and that reduces his value to an acquiring team. Right, like because you can trade a guy while he's on PUP, but the PUP list carries over. He still would not be eligible to play the first four games for the new team. So there is a little bit of leverage on the side of Miami or whoever else they're negotiating with because of that. So yeah, I don't. I mean, look, are the Colts going to, if they were asking for a first round pick, are they going to come down off of that? I feel like they probably have to if they want to get it done. And in terms of Taylor and what he wants, you know, what's the contract look like? Can it be a shorter term deal? Can it be something as simple as a written promise not to franchise him? Like, if he's going to a good enough team, maybe he is willing to accept a little less than just a top of the market running back deal. So a lot of moving pieces. That's why it's possible it doesn't happen at all today. Right. But we'll see.
Catch him on Get Up, which happens in about 35 minutes. Our man Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, giving you the hot news or not news. Hit him on the X at Dan Graziano, ESPN. Always a pleasure, Dr. Dan. Keep up the great work, my man.
My pleasure, Jay. All right,
Dan.
Take care.
He is Jay Williams. Hit him on the X at Real Jay Williams. I'm Freddie Coleman. Hit me on the X at Coleman, ESPN, together this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and also ESPN 2. And do we owe Jay Will an apology? Not because of the Rams.
What?
But for something else. That's next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
When we fell in love, you remember the time
when we first met, girl.
I.
Tell you, you run at me on the field, you might catch a two-piece. You ain't gonna get no thumbs up. Bop.
Yeah.
Night to the baby. I don't know what's happening.
The biscuit on that one. Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah, I don't know. By the way, Michael Jackson would have turned 65 today, so we celebrate a little Michael Jackson with Jay Williams, Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN2, and ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance. Going back to that Ronald Acuña Jr. situation, and you talked about that. I can't even imagine how scary that was because they didn't seem to have any ill intent. But you don't know that if you're in the outfield, a guy's just rushing at you. He wants to take a selfie, but you don't know what's on that dude's mind.
First off,
running towards
you. Did you see the second guy?
I saw the second guy.
The second guy just was wild. So like the first guy is like
out.
The first dude's holding on to him like a bear hug, which is weird. Mm-hmm. But you kind of like feel in that moment. He's like, all right, this is awkward. I don't know what's occurring. But even like I don't know. It's just when you come into it's like a lot of times we have these conversations, Freddie, around NBA players and, you know, players engaging and talking trash. Talking trash is one thing.
Right.
Right? Like, all right, get him kicked out of here. I'm like, come on. Like, people say gnarly things. I hear some things could be outrageous, but, like, nothing's really going to get to that point for me. Like, I've heard everything where I'm going to be like, you, get out of here. I'm not that sensitive.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try to give you 70 and then stare at you the whole time as I walk up the court.
And take that home with you. Yeah.
But coming onto the court or coming onto the field to play, it's live now.
Absolutely.
I don't know what your attention is. I don't care if you're running to me with smiles. You could be running to me with smiles strapped with something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It could be a psychotic smile. I don't know. Like, you're leaving it up to me to now to interpret what your intentions are. And that's when it gets really scary.
Yeah. I mean, I give Acuña Jr. a lot of credit that he was smiling and flashing the thumbs up afterwards. That would have been hard for me to flash that thing. What were you two doing out here?
I would not have been able to maintain my composure. I'm telling you, I would have fought. Like, if you're coming into my sanctity,
mm-hmm.
like you're coming into my sanctuary.
Right.
I don't know what your intention is.
Exactly.
I'm not going to just be, I guess I give him credit, but what if something else had occurred? Right? It makes you think that way. You give him credit because nothing occurred.
Yeah.
But if something had occurred.
That's very, very, very fair.
Like, would you have had an issue if he had reacted differently?
Yeah, I wouldn't have had an issue however he reacted. If he decided, like I said, give him the two-piece and the biscuit combo, you shouldn't have been out there. I want to take a selfie. Well, take selfies on your own time outside of a baseball field. If you see him outside the baseball field, hey, Ronald Acuña Jr., can I have a selfie? That's a different story. You ran onto the field just because you felt emboldened to do that, like it was your right to do something
like
that.
But also, Freddie, that's a sign of something wrong, right? Think about this. So, like, it's the freedom to think that you could just run onto the field.
For whatever privileged reason you have.
Already makes me question your mentality, right? And how you think to begin with. So, for me, that's what I'm saying. It leads me to have alternative conclusions to what stable, like what stability of mind you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know what the repercussions are, right? Like it's, anyway.
More than ever before, a lot of people don't worry about the repercussions. They don't think anything bad should happen to them or that anything bad is going to happen to them or that they should be disciplined for going beyond the rules of violating somebody's space. They think something shouldn't happen to them because it's my right. I'm emboldened to do these kind of things. We see that a lot in society now.
Yeah.
Not just in sports.
I mean, you still go to big stadiums and you go through security, you know, you go through metal detectors and all those things. But it's still, there's still an openness sometimes about sports where you feel vulnerable as a player, right? Like people sitting courtside, like we, you know, had an issue with somebody running on the court during an NBA game.
Yeah.
You're just out there.
Yeah.
You know, hoping that nobody is of that state of mind where something could happen.
Yeah, because there's not enough security around when you got thousands of people.
I mean, we see it all the time in college sports, like college basketball.
Oh, absolutely.
Rushing the court.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, you rush the court, kids have been drinking all day long, rushing the field after college football games.
No doubt.
Like, somebody hits you the wrong way, you react the wrong way. That could turn into a brawl. Like, those are lawsuits.
Yeah, I'm surprised more that has not happened, especially college
football.
I do
feel like, inevitably, though, we are going to have to change the openness of games.
Yeah.
From a security perspective, it is going to come to that. I know that's what makes fans and us feel like we love it, but from a security POV, like, you are going to have to change that in the future of these sports.
Yeah, great perspective by Jay Williams. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN2, and ESPNU. Do we owe Jay Williams an apology? When it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo, at least for now, a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. In an interview the New York Times published last Thursday, Giannis said, and I quote, when it comes to his future in Milwaukee, numbers-wise, it doesn't make sense, adding that the organization still has something to prove before he potentially signs an extension next summer. He also went on to say, and I quote, next summer would make more sense for both parties. Even then, I don't know. It would not be the best version of myself. I would not be the best version of myself if I don't know that everybody's on the same page. Everybody's going for a championship. Everybody's going to sacrifice time away from their family like I do. And if I don't feel that, I'm not signing, end quote. It wasn't that long ago that the esteemed Jay Williams said, hey, Giannis staying in Milwaukee for the rest of his career, I don't know if I'm on board with that. Things can change. So that's where we are with the apology that maybe we should give to Jay Will, because he had the foresight enough to believe that. And Giannis last 30 saying, hey, the possibility is there. I may not be a Milwaukee Buck the rest of my career.
I don't need an apology. But I do find it, when Giannis signed his contract like a couple of years ago, and I went on SportsCenter, and literally, Freddie, I got lambasted for this. I got destroyed on social media for this.
You? Destroyed on social media?
Destroyed. No. Listen to this. You guys out there, listen to me. So literally, I said the moment it happened, I said, guys, just because players sign four-year max deals doesn't mean they're going to stay at that same location for the length of their deal. He could be asking for out, depending upon if the front office is keeping him in contention to win.
All right?
Like, and he's like, oh, what are you talking about? He just signed his deal. You don't know that you're an idiot. I'm like, okay.
Name calling.
Because what you do is you sign the extension to get the money. And if the team doesn't live up to keeping you in contention, and think about like the ride, right? Like obviously getting hurt, losing in the playoffs, but everything that happened with Coach Budenholzer, right? And how he didn't really back him. Giannis actually questioned a lot of coaching decisions, right? Like, why wasn't Giannis guarding Jimmy Butler? Remember that whole thing?
Absolutely.
Where Giannis is like, well, that's the coach's decision.
Yeah, he threw him under the
guarding.
Bus.
He threw him right there. Right? Like, I wanted to, but coach decided that, like, that's a sign that he doesn't agree with the way Coach Budenholzer was coaching him.
Okay.
So now that they signed back Brooke Lopez, they signed back Chris Middleton, like, you haven't added that much depth. The pressure is on the front office to make it happen. When you feel like you're losing in the arms race happening in the Eastern Conference, just look at the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Look at where they are, adding Kristaps Porzingis, right? Even though they lose Marcus Smart, like, that's one hell of a a team. That's a squad.
That's a squad. I mean, the New York Knicks, we saw they were able to do getting a second round of playoffs. You know, Miami's going to be in that mix if everybody stays relatively healthy. There's always that surprise team that comes out of nowhere that is gunning for your spot. It's very interesting because, to me, the Bucks have done enough right now to try to convince him to stay. You mentioned bringing back Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez. Jrue Holiday still there. You got a deep team in Milwaukee. Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton coming off the bench, Jay Crowder, Malik Beasley. So it's not as if they're devoid of depth.
They're right there.
But to your point, he looks around. He sees the landscape, and he wonders if they're going to be able to compete with that landscape that is always ever shifting in the NBA. And more than ever before, the Eastern Conference, he keeps getting better and better and better, where that gap between the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference is getting smaller and smaller and smaller in terms of competing for championships, being those 50-win teams in the NBA. And Giannis is like, look, I got to make sure I protect me if I can't trust that this organization, no matter who they brought back, is maybe not doing that to protect me to make sure we can be a championship team.
Well, first off, economically, you don't you like this, you don't sign an extension because it leads to you getting more money in your next contract. So that that makes sense economically.
Right.
On top of that first point, it puts pressure on the front office to say now produce, because now the thought is hanging out there that you could go somewhere else. So what you do is you use this year as a prove it scenario. Okay, like, are you surrounding me with best in class to help me get to a championship game?
Mm-hmm.
I get last year I got injured. I understand. I can't control that. That's on me. But if I give you my best effort this year and we fall short and the pieces don't align up, then I have leverage in the situation. I could take a look at the landscape and say, you know, is that Golden State? We've heard him talk openly about Steph Curry and what's happening there. Like, he's talked openly about, hey, I'll play in Golden State. Like, you've never heard Giannis say stuff like this before.
That is true.
You use the pending New York Knicks situation. Like, they have a lot of draft capital, right? So if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, if you feel like you're going to lose him, do you trade him before you lose him for nothing?
Oof.
Right? And a team like New York has all the cap space. A team like, you know, the Knicks, Giannis, immigrant, the story of New York, it's right there. You feel like that could be a good scenario. So there are scenarios out there where you look at it. Chicago Bulls, another one. Like, you know, could they start all over with a guy like Giannis? So there are teams out there that will give you enough assets in return if you do feel like you're going to lose him, if you're Milwaukee.
And if you're Milwaukee, if you're going to lose him, you may not be able to keep him. Then you really got to think about what you're going to do when it comes to the future of that franchise and that organization.
Because you can trade him, get him for the value he has. Oh. You'll get a boatload in return. So it's like, you know, that's a calculated risk.
Yeah, it is. More than ever before, if players see the landscape and they don't think you can compete, they do not mind asking or telling you, you're going to have to move me, lose me one way or the other.
But if you're Milwaukee, you're mad? Like, he got you a chip. Like, if he does decide to leave, he brought you a championship home.
First time in 50 years. Can't be mad at that. He said he's going to do it.
And he did
it. He do it when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo. He is Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman. Appreciate you joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 and ESPN2. And a top-flight college football coach has suggested a change to college sports that will put more money in the pockets of athletes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is ESPN Radio.
Get money. Get money.
That's what Jim Harbaugh, Michigan head coach, is talking about when it comes to players and get money and get money.
That's how this kid be in college these days, man. They be pulling out $100 bills. I'm like, oh, you got some Benjamins like that? Pull it out and you start.
They're stacked. NIL is stacking pockets all over the place.
Now it's legal.
Yes, it is. And there's nothing they can do about it. Jay Williams, Freddie Coleman together. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, there is something they can do about it.
They're trying, and they're not succeeding on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as ESPNU and ESPN2. When it comes to revenue sharing, check out what Jim Harbaugh, Michigan head coach, had to say about not only backing it, but backing it this way.
I continue to advocate for that today. A system of revenue sharing with the student athletes. I'm aware and understand that when someone speaks out in defense of those without a voice, attempts are made to diminish the individual's character and credibility. As a former player and current coach, mentoring many of these student athletes, what I want to do is be a voice for the student athletes. I want them to be treated with the respect and the dignity that they deserve. What I don't understand is how the NCAA, television networks, conferences, universities, and coaches can continue to pull in millions, and in some cases, billions of dollars in revenue off the efforts of college student athletes across the country without providing enough opportunity to share in the ever-increasing revenues.
And that's not a golf club by
you,
by the way.
Good for you, coach. Good for you. Now, it's not as easy as just making the statement. I do commend him for the statement. We need more people in positions of power to talk about rev share as it relates to the ultimate model. It does lead to the conversation, though, Freddie, that your highest grossing sports revenue-wise are college football and college basketball.
Absolutely.
So when you say rev share, is that across all sports? You still have Title IX as well. Like, how do you factor all that in? Is that across every athlete, male and female, for each school? Because there's different scales to it as it relates to conference realignment.
Absolutely.
Right? So the rev share in the SEC will be drastically different than the rev share in the ACC. Or is there one model overall? But the problem is you have two moving parallels here, two moving objects going in different directions, okay? You have one object, which is the NCAA. You have the other object, which is conference realignment and conferences that are acting as their own individual entities.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? So like, it's not really an NCAA thing as much as it's a conference thing, because I think people are losing faith in the NCAA, who has had a multitude of opportunities before to allow rev share to be in place.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you do rev share, you know what else that means? The players deserve a voice, which means they have to unionize, which means they have to have rights in place, which means you have to build out a matrix to build out scale, which is a very difficult conversation.
Especially when you involve two things like you mentioned, money and power, because they're equal, especially in big-time college athletics. And there are plenty of quote-unquote adults in the room that don't want the kids to have a place at that table. This is Jim Harbaugh's way of kind of not just starting the conversation, because he brought this up in 2020 and 2022 at the Big Ten Media Days about revenue sharing. He even mentioned part of this six-minute statement, we should all be about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I'm calling for a system that is fair, equitable, and benefits all involved. Don't exclude the student athletes from the profits. My opinion, you can't say you're about diversity, equity, and inclusion if you're not willing to include the student athletes in revenue sharing. It goes back to what you said about having a voice. There's still way too many adults that don't want that. But they also don't want the NCAA to tell them what to do. If they had their way when it comes to athletic directors, big-time college coaches, they would have their fiefdom where they could create those kind of rules, where they could have those policies in place. But I guarantee you it would be about excluding players from revenue sharing. That's why what Jim Harbaugh said is a major statement, because I guarantee the other coaches that feel that way, but they don't have the stroke that he does at a major college and a major program like Michigan football.
So this is, I'm going to give you guys my real honest opinion as a black man, okay? And I don't take everything to race, but as somebody who's grown up in this system, when you look at the majority of the athletes in both college football and college basketball are African American. Right. So when that becomes the case, and when you hear a guy, it's a common terminology utilized in business all the time, DEI, right? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. You hear a lot of companies hire chief diversity officers and things of that sort to really dig into the trenches of their companies to make sure that they are diversified across all their portfolio assets. When you look into that, that is one of the main issues. I commend Harbaugh for doing this in a conference that is the highest paid conference in all college football.
Absolutely. The Big Ten.
It puts pressure on the Big Ten.
Well, and especially when he played in that Big Ten, he's coaching in it, and he does not mind sharing his voice about things that can involve in and outside of the Big Ten. Did one team tell the world they are about to tank this season? That's next with Dave Williams and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.